back, WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. Momentous occasions around here. We are going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour at Fadley's on Friday and then next Thursday. Hope to see everybody in Middle River. We'll be there from 2 until 5. Hopefully we get a good sunset. We get a good weather thing going on. We're going to be at McFall's Oyster and Reel, a new joint down in the old Sioux Island down in Middle River. I had a great, great show on Thursday with Mara and some great folks down at Captain Larry's. It was at Captain Larry's where I was sitting with Shannon Toback and Chris Reel. And then my dear friend Todd Schuller from Blondell Miller Schuller, the law firm in Essex, as we're sitting talking and talking and talking. Luke, we talked so long that I never looked down on the phone. And the people at the bar at Captain Larry's are like, "Hey, you just sent a text that said that the Lamar Jackson just signed." And I literally said to them, I'm like, "Unless we send a text, it's not real." And Schuller got off the air. He's like, "My friends are effing with me again about this Lamar Jackson thing." And I looked down. I'm like, no. WNST is reporting, according to our friends at Coons Ford. Luke, what's going on, man? I don't know where you were at around 4:20. Weird number on Thursday afternoon, but I know you were working because I was working.
I was preparing to head to Owings Mills for night one of the NFL draft, where ultimately we found out the Ravens would draft Zay Flowers, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But there had been smoke, and this started all the way back, what was it, late Tuesday night. Lamar Jackson with one of his many tweets that we've tried to interpret, whether some of them meaning something, you know, such as him announcing when he had requested his trade as John Harbaugh was going to the podium at the owners' meetings back in late March. But in many cases, it would be something cryptic, right? It would be a message that you'd say, okay, is this about his contract? Is this about the Ravens? Is this about football? Or is it about whatever else? It was a SpongeBob SquarePants tweet, and it had Ravens Twitter ablaze as far as, well, what could this mean? Because he's smiling in it and he seems excited. And at the time I was just thinking, we'll see. I mean, there have been these types of tweets over the course of different points, not just this offseason, even going back before then, where fans and speculation would get out of control. But I guess, you know, it was Jay Glazer who really had the first legitimate information out there that the Ravens and Lamar Jackson had really made hay here over the last couple of days, and made it really sound like, hey, a deal's going to happen. Unless something really goes off the rails here in the final hours, it's going to happen. And I think you look at the timing of this in relation to last week with Jalen Hurts getting the deal that he got and seeing how that structure looked similar to the reported offer that the Ravens gave Lamar last summer. I think that right there to me was kind of the last checkpoint in terms of a reference, in terms of a comp, in terms of a peer, you know, a very comparable quarterback who was very accomplished what Jalen Hurts did last year. That seemed to me, even though Eric DaCosta downplayed the significance of that deal itself, that seemed to be what, you know, again, another example of a non-fully guaranteed deal, you know. So once again, the Watson deal looking like the outlier, but really feels like that was the deal that kind of made this, you know, that was the turning point, so to speak, that Lamar Jackson backed off of what we believed his demands were as far as a Watson-like full guarantee at signing. And even though we're still waiting for the specifics, the year-by-year breakdown, all of that, but you look at $260 million, $185 million total guaranteed. Now we'll see what the guarantee is at signing. Remember, that was a major sticking point, or was believed to be. But this is a deal that, while it's a lot, you know, $52 million per year, but it seems to have a much more, quote, traditional structure than what we had been talking about with the Watson thing. So, you know,
it's a 4-year deal, right? I mean, like, call it what it is. It's a four, that $80 million on the back end, that's it. We're not paying you in year five if you get hurt in year two and we stink. Because there's big possibility for Chris Davis type of bust when you're talking about for any of these guys, for the kid out in Arizona that didn't play well last year, right? For any of these guys that you put this sort of money into and you're saying, dude, we're in on you until, I mean, 2026, 27, that starts sounding like a long time from now. Not, I mean, it's 50 football games, like literally, and we're there, right? Like, no problem. But it's a 4-year deal, right? I mean, the guarantee part of it is the last year, if you stink, we can get rid of you and we'll probably take a cap hit. And if you stink, we're probably going to stink and we're going to pick another quarterback. I mean, that's kind of the cycle of how this works.
Or it's a 4-year deal, and if he's playing really well, then that last year, yeah, probably rolls into whatever your next contract is. I mean, we saw this with Joe Flacco. When he signed in 2013, he was back at the table 3 years later because of the way that thing was structured. The Ravens kind of needed to, and that's why Joe Linta did such a good job with that deal in terms of really kind of sticking it to the Ravens, quite frankly. That's what happens when you win a Super Bowl and you have that kind of leverage. But yeah.
Well, Lamar stuck it to the Ravens. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, like, Lamar got everything Lamar wanted, everything Lamar's agent wanted, everything Lamar's mama wanted. Like, in the end, he got
did
paid.
Did he? I mean, I
he hasn't played a football game after Thanksgiving the last 2 years, and he didn't even show up on the – I mean, I keep going back to all of the optics that you say, and you've been around the team because they threw me out, so I don't have people I can ask or be a reporter, because I'm a pretty good reporter. I've been doing this a long time. In the end, whatever the antics, whatever the tweets, whatever the not going to Cincinnati, whatever happened behind closed doors back in November, December, the Ravens paid him for that. They did. And he won. Lamar's the big winner here. Lamar's the winner. He won the negotiation.
I mean,
from my perspective,
I completely disagree with you.
Well, he wasn't getting fully guaranteed money because he's not the best quarterback. I mean,
but no, it's because no one's getting that other than Deshaun Watson.
Joe Burrow gets. Let's go. You know, let's see. We'll see.
I mean, I don't know how you could possibly say Lamar won the negotiation. He didn't get his fully guaranteed contract. I mean, this is the Ravens were always willing to give him this kind of a deal from a traditional structure standpoint. I mean, this is, he got a tick up from what Jalen Hurts just got. And whether it's Herbert or Joe Burrow next, probably get the next tick up. And then, because that's how this works. In the same way that Joe Flacco was the highest paid quarterback in the NFL for about 5 minutes. And then I think it was Aaron Rodgers or Matthew Stafford or whoever was next gets a little bit more. So I think the Ravens won this negotiation from the standpoint of, everything you mentioned, which, as I said all along, I wasn't nearly as convinced as you were that they were looking, that this was not salvageable or that the Ravens no longer wanted Lamar Jackson. I think they wanted him, but I think they wanted him on the terms of a more traditional contract structure rather than saying, we're going to give you what the Cleveland Browns did with Deshaun Watson. So, and all signs point to it not being anything close to that. Now, again, once we see what the full guarantee at signing is, we can debate that. But the early indication is $185 million total guaranteed, which to me, that probably means a year or two, injury guarantee that kicks in, which is essentially a full guarantee because you're not going to cut the guy after year one. I mean, that's just how this works. But, and some of it is semantics. I mean, sure, Lamar Jackson won from the standpoint of he always deserved to get paid. He always deserved to get this level of a contract because he is that accomplished. Whether you think he's the best, whether you think he's the third best, or whether you think he's number eight, let's say, no pun intended with his jersey number, he's somewhere in that category. So when you're in that category, when you're in that top tier somewhere, and again, we talked about this with Joe Flacco a decade ago, if you find yourself in that bracket, then it's cyclical then, right? Whoever's up next is going to get a little bit more than the previous guy because that's how it works. That's how it works with the salary cap. And, from that standpoint, I think Lamar wins because he finally has gotten compensated to an appropriate level of where he's been as a quarterback in his 5 years and where the Ravens have been since he took over as their starting quarterback. But the Ravens are, to your point, it's not a fully guaranteed 5-year deal, no questions asked. It's more in the neighborhood of 4, and then you see where you are at that point, whether you want to extend or, heaven forbid, you are in a position where you want to make a change at that point. But, from the negotiating standpoint, based on everything we understand in terms of what Lamar wanted, especially over the last year since the Watson deal, I think the Ravens absolutely were patient. They waited this out. They got beaten up a lot by national pundits. A lot of that criticism, I think, really proved out to be unfair, but they stood their ground. And at the same time, once Lamar Jackson backed off of what we believe his fully guaranteed at signing demand was, then they got something done. So from that standpoint, both sides are winners because, yeah, you know, we can debate the negotiating part of it, but he gets a top of market deal, but it's a more traditional structure that does provide the team a little more protection, a little more flexibility over the long run.
Well, John Harbaugh told you a million times and the fans a million times, we love Lamar, we love Lamar. Now they love Lamar and they're married to Lamar now. You know, how do you feel about that from a football perspective? You feel differently about Lamar than I do, having witnessed him for 5 years, in believing you're going to win a Super Bowl with him. You believe there's going to be a January where he's going to beat Herbert, Burrow, Mahomes, or the team will, or the effort of the team will, or a Justin Tucker field goal will. But at some point, you have to believe you're going to win the Super Bowl with him. I believed that 3 years ago. I don't believe that now. I think the last two seasons to me, and now that he has this money, good for him, but that's 20% of the cap now. Now they're going to play with some diminished version of their football team unless they draft players that outplay their contract, because they're paying Mark Andrews, they're paying Ronnie Stanley, they're paying Marlon, they're paying Lamar Jackson, they're paying their players right now. Who are the guys? They paid Roquan Smith. I mean, forgot about him. He got all the money, right? So they've paid a lot of guys. And I remember what this looked like when it's like, well, we can't get, you know, Joe any help or Bowler any help or whomever any help. We've got Suggs and Ed Reed, and we got 68% of our money on the defensive side, whatever the number was. You're the math guy on this, not I. But there is a point where you now have to win with him being a $50 million quarterback. And I'm just saying, from my experience with Flacco here, man, that changed everything. Flacco won. Flacco really won. I know that's hard for some people out there to remember. He won the Super Bowl. He should have won too. And so Lamar's not come close to anything like that. And now he's got the money. He's got the cap number. And I just remember how quickly this turned south when things went bad for Flacco. Now, that being said, Lamar's going to have weapons. Like, we can get into the draft, get into Odell Beckham, all that. Eric has done a great job the last couple of months of building all of your criticisms, all of my criticisms in regard to the offense and throwing the football. Now they have to go out there and really throw the football. This is not going to be Lamar running 18 times, because I don't say it can't be. I guess it could be because they've won that way. But then he gets broken in half and can't play in December. This is going to be different because the pressure now really is on him, even though he's paid. But I heard Joe Flacco get booed in the stadium. And I know how things went when he got all the money and nobody else did. And then everything became about him. And everything's been about Lamar for 5 years. I get it. But financially, this changes what they can do with the rest of their football team. And, you know, that changed everything around here with Joe. It really did.
It did, but it's no different than any other quarterback that you have to pay. I mean, they're 45-16 when he starts football games. Look, I'm not going to sit here and say that if it's Lamar Jackson against Patrick Mahomes, I'm picking Lamar Jackson. But as it pertains to every other quarterback and every other team that's not the Kansas City Chiefs and every quarterback that's not Patrick Mahomes, then I like my chances with Lamar Jackson as my quarterback. Now, to your point, yeah, he's got to stay on the field. There's no question, and that's part of it. And that's where we point out it hasn't been these catastrophic, debilitating, long-term type of injury, but he
it
has
doesn't
to stay
need
on the
to
field.
Be if he can't play in December two out of the next 4 years.
But you say, but that's true of it. But that's true of anyone. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I guess my question to you is, what's the alternative? You know, if it's not Lamar, what do you do? You pick 22nd. Johnny Unitas reincarnate is not walking through the door. I mean, they've won a lot of football games with this guy. He's really good. Yeah, he might not be Patrick Mahomes, great, but he's really good. And you can talk about a lot of quarterbacks, including some of the all-time greats, who their first 4 or 5 years in the league, they did not break through and win a Super Bowl. Peyton Manning, it was what, year 7, I think it was.
Well, Dan Marino and Warren Moon are still looking for one, right?
And that's the thing. There is no guarantee. So for you to ask me if I'm confident the Ravens will win a Super Bowl with Lamar Jackson, I think they have a really good chance to be able to do it, but there's a lot that goes into that. There was a lot that went into it when they won in 2012. When they won in 2012, that was not the best team of the John Harbaugh era. That 2011 team was absolutely better than the 2012 team. So the point is that you're making as far as the roster and keeping a good enough team around him? Yeah, but that's indicative of any team that has a high price quarterback. You have to draft well. You have to be very savvy and smart with your signings. You have to be healthy. We saw this with the Rams here recently. Look how that team was built and how they won a Super Bowl in 2021 with all these high priced veterans. How did that happen? They stayed really healthy and they really hit on a lot of their late round picks. As much as we joked about Les Snead and bleep those picks and all that, go and look at some of the late round picks that played really well for them. A year later, they didn't stay as healthy, and all those vets were a year older, and we saw how it fell apart. So yeah, there are no guarantees. That's other than Mahomes and the Chiefs, that's as close as you get. And just like the Patriots and Tom Brady before that. But you know, from the standpoint of where the Ravens were and where they've been with Lamar Jackson and where they're going, and Todd Monken is a part of this. You mentioned a greater commitment at the wide receiver position. They need to be able to throw the ball better. I don't think it means 50 times a game, like you said. For one thing, go look at Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. They average about 38, 39, 40 pass attempts per game. So that kind of shows you where it is. You know, the Ravens with Lamar have been in the neighborhood of, you know, earlier in his career, 27 attempts per game, up to about 32, 33 at different points the last year or two, where clearly they had some injuries and they did throw the ball a little more where they were with the running backs.
I don't even know how
ago.
To look at their numbers the last 2 years when Tyler Huntley's been playing at the end, right? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to, and part of it, and we'll throw Roman under the bus because he's the guy that's gone. Lamar's retained. Eric's retained. John Harbaugh's retained. You know, all these guys are retained. Greg Roman is the fall guy. It was his fault, right? Like, he's the guy that they had to get rid of and they had to change philosophically. Now they've changed philosophically and they come in. I'm wondering whether the personnel is going to be able to change with it. And they're all being paid to do it. They're all being paid top of class. I mean, Odell Beckham overpaid. Lamar, I don't want to say overpaid because that's flippant, but nobody else wanted him. Anybody else could have gotten into this game for a couple of draft picks and given him $200 million. There was not a long line. There was not a long line of teams, desperate teams. I mean, the Indianapolis Colts said, we'll take the kid from Florida. We'll take a cheap kid and we'll play the next 5 years with a 21 or 22 or 23 year old that maybe by the time they're 26 can be some version. I know Anthony Richardson had two different first and last names that had to do with Lamar Jackson and running the football and being that kind of an RPO quarterback. I don't think we're going to see what we saw before. I think we're ripping the page up. We're going to see a whole new thing. That's exciting. It's exciting for them. It's exciting for the fans. Now it's got to go work. Now Lamar Jackson's going to stand back in the pocket and not run all over the place, I guess. I mean, he has to run, right? And there has to be a threat for him to run, but he can't run as much as he ran the first 5 years of his deal. We know that. So what happens in those other plays? Well, they have verticals now, right? They're going to attempt to throw the ball down the field a lot more than they have because they have a coordinator that wants to do that. They have personnel that they're built. They're not really Snead around here anymore. You know, they're drafting guys to throw the ball. Now the accuracy has to be there. The touch has to be there. The reads have to, all that has to be there more than it's been there before with potentially less personnel over the long haul, not Odell Beckham this year, but you know, we'll get to Zay Flowers and, you know, him blooming in a way that maybe Hollywood Brown didn't in year two, year three, where there will be, I'm looking at long-term progress. I don't think they're winning the Super Bowl this year. I don't know, but how can they build into that around Lamar? Cause they don't have to win the first year, but he has to play football in January this year. You know what I mean? Like the team has to play football in January and he has to be standing up in January this year. And you know, they look on paper to be a better offense. Now they have to go out and execute that part of it in a completely different way that we haven't seen before. So I think it's harder to be predictive of that because I do think had we seen Lamar throw, and this is unfair to him because 2018, 19, 20, 3 years ago, had we seen him try to do it this way, this is why nobody drafted him because nobody thought he was going to be a guy that was going to throw the ball 40 or 50 times in a traditional kind of offense. That's why he wasn't a first round draft pick. And the Ravens still haven't really. And there were some games in 19 where they embarrassed teams and stuff like that. But part of that was really about the way they ran the football and other teams not being prepared for it in a different way. I mean, 5 years later, everybody's seen it. Every defensive coordinator has been up at night trying to figure out what the Chargers did in January 5 years ago to play it better. But this is a step up. He has to be a better quarterback than the quarterback we've seen. And we've seen a really good quarterback. Fine. He has to be better now, or they're going to boo him. They're going to that this is going to be a rough ride for him, because I think all of us were cheering for him to get paid this time last year, year before that. I think the antics the last year have changed the fans a little bit about the expectation level for him. And I do think he won the negotiation. I'm not going to back off of that, because there was no other team even they negotiated with themselves. So at the end, and they couldn't let him play for $32 million because he wouldn't have shown up. We know that they were sort of forced as the draft came up to give him more than they wanted to give him. And I believe they gave him more than they wanted to give.
I guess. I mean, I don't know where your justification is to say that he doesn't get market like the other top quarterbacks. I mean,
he hasn't played in 2 years in the playoffs. And I thought, and I'll go back to this. Guy doesn't show up with his teammates in a playoff game, and then you go give him $200 million. He won the negotiation. You know what I mean? Like he was a
he
bad
couldn't
boy
be more
here
wrong,
at the
but
end.
Okay.
I
mean,
I
think you're saying that because you didn't think he was going to be back. I mean, I don't know how you can say he won the negotiation. He didn't get what he wanted. He wanted $230+ million fully guaranteed at signing. He didn't get anything close to that.
He didn't deserve that. You know what I mean? Maybe Patrick Mahomes would deserve that because he just went and won the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Like Jalen Hurts last week.
It's a negotiation.
He played playoff games and won playoff games. Lamar.
What would
Lamar
you have given,
hasn't done that yet.
Would you have given Lamar any contract, or did you just want him gone? Serious question.
Serious question is, yeah. Do I want him to be my quarterback for $55, $60 million a year 3 years from now?
Okay.
3 years from, like, where that is. I think this is this is boom or bust to me. They're either going to win the Super Bowl or they're not. And if they're not, then what are they doing?
Can you say that about every single quarterback that's not Patrick Mahomes? I mean, I just keep coming back to, if the standard is
I'm just
has
not
to
as big
Super
a believer
Bowl.
In him
okay.
as you
okay.
are. And that's okay. I mean, you and I could
And the Ravens are, by the way,
Rushman.
Too.
Well, clearly the Ravens are now. I mean,
I
was a little shocked. I mean, I thought that the Ravens beat him up enough and beat his agent up enough, you know, over the course of time that it felt like they didn't want him. It really did. And it felt that way, not just to me, but to a lot of people. And so the fact that this happened, I think they would have been very fine dealing him to the Colts 4 weeks ago had they gotten what they wanted and he got what he wanted. And I think that that would have been an okay outcome for them. And they could stand up and say, we drafted Anthony Richardson. Or, you know what I mean? Like, they would have been okay with that narrative, that Kevin Byrne, you know, we're going to play it out three different ways. We're going to shine it up for Luke and Trebek and Jameson, however they needed to pitch it. This was not desperation on the part of the Ravens. I never believed they were desperate because, I mean, John makes $12 million a year and Eric's got a job, and they're not desperate. They could have survived this and rebuilt and retooled. Clearly, Steve didn't want to do that. Right. Eric and John didn't want to do that. And they decided that this really is, and I'm not disagreeing with you, this really is their best option to win here right now. Yeah. When they've given Roquan Smith money, they've done all this stuff. This is their best chance to win right now, is to overpay him, overpay Odell, roll the dice, keep the fans kind of sort of happy, not be in last place. They won't be picking a lottery pick next year, right? I mean, they shouldn't be. They should be a good team, a really – they're a Super Bowl contender in their mind now that they have Lamar back. And okay, but now I want to see Lamar Jackson go out for 17 weeks, play football,
sure,
not bitch about his contract, not tweet poop emojis, none of that. Show up at practice, like do all of that stuff, and then really go win. And really, 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 not, we're 6 years into this. Win, not win in September. Win and show up in December and January and show me that you're going to beat Burrow, Mahomes, Herbert, name any of the rest of the guys, right? They got Aaron Rodgers in the division at least for 5 minutes, right? And Dennis and I got together. He's warm and wet about the Jets because there are lots of people that just believe Aaron Rodgers is going to be plug and play, and they're good for 10, 11, 12 wins now. And so now they're a problem. All of these guys are better than Lamar. Now, I mean, no offense, dude. That's not Nestor or being a dick. That's 31 teams passing on him 5 years ago and him being floating out. Anybody could have him. Anybody could have him if they
with
were
a bunch
willing
of other
to
circumstances at play, though. Let's not act
if
like
they're willing to pay him.
He wasn't a pure free agent, though.
But
let's not act
loved,
like that.
So the Colts had to give up a four where they took a quarterback that's a dart throw for a guy who's been an MVP in the league.
Yeah, a Colts team that's done nothing since Andrew Luck has done nothing of real consequence since Peyton Manning left a decade ago. So, you know, you're comparing to all these teams who've done nothing, including, by the way, not win as much as the Ravens have even in the regular season with Lamar Jackson.
By the
so,
way, it's not lost on me on draft night, brother, that I'm sitting here watching Carolina, the Texans, the Colts, you know, these dog meat franchises continue to be dog. I was waiting for the Browns, and then I realized, oh, they gave their pick away.
Right. So,
I mean, it's not lost on me who the bad franchises are. I'm just saying, taking a bite of the apple here, this was a big step for Bisciotti, a big step for Eric, commitment to this guy that has been problematic. This has been problematic. You and I have been sitting here for a year and a half talking about this kid taking this money that they've been offering him, and in the end, he got a lot more money than he would have gotten a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I mean, the longer he waited, he won. I won't back off of that because there was no bidding for him. No one else stepped up. There wasn't even any smoke that the Commanders wanted him or like that anybody wanted him. This is the second time around for him that the Ravens are the only team not willing just to bet on him, but to go, we love you. The things that John says, you know, like no one loves you the way we love you. And it's true. It really is true. No one loves Lamar the way this organization loves Lamar. Now they have to go win. And there are no other options. There's no more backups. There's no excuses. There's no nothing. Now they have to go out and throw the football and beat Burrow, Mahomes, Allen.
Justin Herbert's never won a playoff game, by the way.
I gotcha. But they're
I'm just saying, you keep throwing out names of guys that haven't even accomplished as much.
That's
as
one
Lamar.
Less than Lamar's one, and Lamar just got $200 million. So yes.
Okay. He's also been MVP of the league. He's also led the league in touchdown passes. So that should be an indication that he can probably throw a little bit better than maybe you're leading on if they have better weapons. And that's something that I've beaten the table about a whole lot. So look, I'm not saying there aren't any guarantees. There's no guarantees for any of these guys. I mean, you know, Patrick Mahomes is the one guy that you say, yeah, he's got two Super Bowls under his belt, two titles. But I'll continue to say, the Ravens, I say, got their guy. They got him at a price that's much more conducive to what they had been offering. Yes, it goes up incrementally. The next guy in line is always going to get a little more than the previous guy, but they didn't give him the Watson deal. He didn't get anything close to that in terms of a full guarantee at signing. But at the same time, Lamar saves a little bit of face. He gets a little more than he would have gotten back in September, and the Ravens get their guy that, for all the questions, and some of them fair, others not quite as pressing in my mind at the very least, they get their guy and they're not starting over because, yeah, it sounds great to talk about starting over until you put that young quarterback who is completely unproven out there in September. And then you realize you either have a guy or you don't. And then you're doing something like what the Jets did, which is rolling the dice, a very expensive dice, on Aaron Rodgers fighting off father time for another year.
Well, and them keeping their jobs as well, Joe Douglas. There's a little bit of that. That doesn't exist here, which is why I felt like this whole thing was a little different. And I said that for months. In the end, it all worked out the way peacefully could have worked out.
Sure.
Without poop emojis, without signs being held, without John Harbaugh looking ashen-faced at the owners' meetings when Lamar's tweeting out that he's asked to be traded. So it's kumbaya. It's one big purple love. And Luke Jones has been in Owings Mills. He'll continue to be in Owings Mills all weekend long. We're going to get to they drafted Zay Flowers. I don't know if you know. We're going to talk about the draft. They're going to draft more football players. There's chaos up and down the board and the Houston Texans and trading in and trading out and all that stuff. It's a big draft weekend. We're going to skip a little Orioles conversation a little bit this weekend, but the Orioles are playing this weekend and playing well, we might add. But it's a little bit of football on the brain around here. He's Luke. He's Baltimore Luke. I am Nestor. We are doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour all week long. We were on Thursday at Captain Larry's. Great, great local place with a great local story and bullet holes in the ceiling. Long story about a cop bar from 100 years ago in Prohibition. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I was giving away these instant scratch-offs. We did have a $10 winner, a couple fives and twos, but no big winners. I say big winner. $20 is a big win to me. So we didn't have any of those at Captain Larry's. Maybe we'll have some at Fadley's on Friday. And then next Thursday, we will be at McFall's Oyster and Reel. I'm very familiar with the Fireside Inn and Iron Horse Tavern, excuse me. Fireside Inn, that was my first sponsor in Glen Burnie. Wow, 30 years ago. McFall's Iron Horse Tavern. We had Justin Tucker and Joe Flacco and Dennis Pitta out there many, many, many years ago. Next Thursday, we're going to be at the Middle River location down on the water of the old Sioux Island doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. I don't have my Window Nation hat because I was too busy wearing it the other day, but I am wearing my Window Nation shirt. 866-90-NATION. May is on. We'll have new deals, and we have new sponsors around here doing all sorts of stuff. We're going to be out on the road. I'm back from Maui. We have new football players. We have the same old quarterback at the new old contract now, and we'll be talking about all of that as we've been doing for months. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.